Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realized this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Trish.
Hi.
Hello. Where did you end up today?
Todd, I have been wanting to come to the place that I'm at since I moved to Texas.
Oh,
and I'm finally here. I'm sitting on the stairs in front of a Buddhist temple. It's called Wat Buddha something Watarium. I can't pronounce it.
It's what home, what Buddha would do or something.
And home of the biggest Buddha in all of America.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Everything, literally. And I scouted out this place on Tuesday just to see, you know, if this was even going to be possible. And the grounds are vacant. It's like a ghost town. And then I went down to this opposite end where there's gym, and I heard this loud rap music. I'm thinking, what's going on? And I found a whole bunch of youth, and they actually are the translators. And I've got this 13-year-old translator. They speak English. I guess the monks were tired today. They couldn't be on the air, but I think the youth have some interesting things to say. We might be able to pick their brains a bit.
Okay, and the reason that you heard the thumpy thump music was because?
Oh, yeah, because they break dance.
Yeah,
they
break these Buddhist break dancing.
No joke, I was shocked. Here, let me explain. They've got a summer school, Thai school, and all the youth, they speak English. They all go to public schools, but they come here during the summer for summer school. And one of the things they do on their free time is break dance and dance to, like, secular rap music. And I was shocked because here I am on this quaint, like, very quiet, like, seems like a little ghost town. And then all of a sudden at the very end, it's this loud break music, break dancing music. It was crazy, you know?
Okay.
So I'm back.
What does that look like exactly?
And they're quite good dancers, too. They did all kinds of dancing for me. The break dancing I was shocked about, though. I mean, they've got little six-year-olds that do break dancing and stuff, and I'm thinking, what is going on? Here we are at the Buddhist temple, and I never would have ever imagined that they'd have break dancing going on. Well, actually, I've got the three young girls with me right now, Catherine, Natalie, and Tanya.
How old are they, Trish?
Hey, I got it.
Are they all 13? Are they 13?
13. Oh. How old are you? 11. And 12, but the funniest thing is the 11-year-old is the tallest. The 12-year-old is the second tallest, and the 13-year-old is like the smallest one.
These are not my favorite.
So if you'd like, I can
Todd,
ask
Todd, you can
a
jump
questions.
In if you want, a theological.
You know what, let's do this. With a 13-year-old, let's grab the 13-year-old, Trish.
Yeah.
And Ray, let's just get their understanding of what this little 13-year-old believes about things like the afterlife, what happens when you die, et cetera, just to get their understanding of Buddhism and if there's any restrictions on their life compared to what the culture is promoting and to see if they like that or not.
And Todd, because of the uniqueness of this 13-year-old girl, you might like to jump in and ask some questions too.
Yeah, now Trish, is this like a Buddhist, like a not a convent, but a commune?
It is, Todd. It really is. It's huge. I mean, there's got to be about 10 acres, I'd say. No joke.
And they live there.
Yes, they do. And the monks have to live here. They can't live anywhere else.
And what? And like don't they have that wax statue there?
You know what? It is very freaky. And this is something that you might want to get into. The kids really seem to want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But I keep telling them, hang on. I go, wait until we go on the radio because I want it to be a surprise. But they keep telling me that there's this wax a figure in the Buddhist temple that actually, in my opinion, is something that I wanted to see more than the Buddha. I was shocked. It looks like a real being, and it's of a monk that actually built this whole temple and was the first one to, I guess, found this area. They say that some strange things happen around midnight here, and I don't know if it's true. I don't know if these youth, you know, have crazy imaginations, but they, you know, they've been wanting to tell me how this figure levitates at night, and this is when the Buddhists do their chanting and prayers. All the monks come out at nighttime. They work on this temple. They fast during the day, and that's why they sleep during the day, because it's easier to sleep, I guess, when you fast. You don't feel the pain, right?
Oh, absolutely. I know all about that.
And so just some strange things that go on, and of course, we know what that is.
Yes.
It's absolute demonic things, but I haven't talked to them at all about any of that.
No. Because you probably wouldn't still be there. All right, if we don't get to it pretty soon, we won't have any time to actually talk to the kids.
Hold on.
All right, don't tell anybody what we're doing.
You're on the air, okay, and you're going to talk to my friend, two friends, Ray and Todd.
Todd, you start.
It's like you're talking to me, okay? All right, here we go. I'm going to leave you alone. Mm-hmm. Okay, hello?
Hello, Catherine. How do you do?
Good.
Thank you for being on the radio with us. We sure do appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Hey, Catherine, you are Buddhist, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, do you wear clothes like most American kids do, or do you wear a special uniform?
I wear clothes like most American kids do.
Yeah. How come, is it the monks and the priests that you have, why do they wear robes?
Because it's a traditional thing that they do for whenever someone dies in their family, and then they want to be monks for them.
Okay. So they wear those clothes, but do you know why monks wear robes?
No, not really.
Okay, Catherine, you've got a monk there who's a wax figure. Who is he, and what is that all about?
His name is Longpo Chap, and he was the founder of this temple, and we kind of respect him.
Mm-hmm. Because he started the place. And
yes.
Somebody had mentioned that he goes up in the air, he levitates. Is that true?
Yes.
What's that all about?
Well, I really don't know about that.
Oh, but you think he does it though, huh?
Yes.
Okay. And the monks they pray at night. Is that correct?
Yes.
And who do they pray to?
They pray to the prince.
Who's the prince?
I don't really know his name.
Ah, where does the prince live?
In Thailand.
Ah, okay. And so is the prince God?
To some people, yes.
To some people. Do you believe that Buddha was God?
Sometimes, yes.
Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, or sometimes he was, sometimes he wasn't?
Sometimes he was, and sometimes he wasn't.
All right, okay. And what was the most important thing that Buddha taught you?
To respect other people.
Uh-huh. And why should you do that? Why should we be good?
Well, I don't really know why, but I know that if you're impolite, that's really bad.
Mm-hmm. But you don't know why?
No.
Yeah. Do you think you're a good person?
Yes.
Yeah? I'd like to introduce you to my friend Ray.
Good work, Todd.
Ray, meet Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Catherine, you live in America, so you hear a lot about the Christian faith. Do you understand why Jesus died on the cross?
No.
You have no understanding at all? Have you heard that he died on a cross?
Yes, I heard that.
And you celebrate Christmas?
Yes.
And what's Christmas about, in your estimation? What do you think?
I think it was the day that God was born.
Yeah, Jesus was born. God became a person. And the reason he became a person was specifically to die on the cross. And that's what we celebrate at Easter. Now, if there's a heaven, do you think you're going to make it there, Catherine?
Yes.
You do? Because you're a good person?
Yes.
So let's go through a few of the Ten Commandments to see how you do on Judgment Day. Have you ever lied?
No.
Never lied in your life?
Well, only once.
Okay. What do you call someone who tells lies or is told a lie?
I guess bad.
No, a liar is the correct term. If I tell a lie, I'm a liar. Have you ever stolen anything in your life, even if it's small?
No.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
No.
Never once?
No.
Okay. The first of the Ten Commandments says you shall have no other gods before me. That means God who gave you life, the same God that became a person in Jesus Christ, the same God who gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, said that you should put him first, that you should love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you should love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. God gave you a mind to think with, he gave you eyes to see with, he gave you ears to hear good music with. God lavished his goodness upon you, and you, like everybody else, have ignored him. You've not put him first in your life. Have you loved the God that gave you life?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
And you've loved Jesus?
Yes, because I respect other gods.
But you've still got another God before the God of the Bible, and he says you shall have no other gods before me. So you've broken the first of the Ten Commandments and the ninth commandment. And God has seen every thought you've ever thought, every deed you've ever done, Everything you did in darkness, those times you were disobedient to your parents, God has seen that, and he's perfect and holy and righteous. And even though you're only 13, there's a lot of sin that God sees because he sees you from perfection. And when you stand before him on the day of judgment, like everybody else, you'll be guilty. And the Bible says everybody who has sinned against God will end up in hell. And it's not just for one sin. There'll be a multitude of sins that God has seen and he must bring to justice. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die on the cross. Jesus took your punishment upon the cross so that you wouldn't have to be punished on judgment day, so you could escape hell. Then he rose from the dead. You know the Bible verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wants you to live forever. He doesn't want you to perish. But what you must do is repent and trust in him. Do you have a Bible?
No.
Well, why don't you ask Trish for a Bible? Trish is that lady that's there with you, and she'll give you some literature that will help you. But this is so important, Catherine. Thank you so much for listening to me.
You're welcome.
Catherine, you're a nice young lady. Thank you very much for the chat, okay?
You're welcome.
Okay. Take care.
Okay.
Goodbye. A Buddhist celebrating Christmas? What has Buddhism come to? Witness Wednesday continues. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here. Glad you could spend part of your day with us at Wretched Radio. You know, we love to hear your stories, your comments, questions, conundrums, and snarks. Two ways to do that. You can voicemail us the old Beep Talk, 1-877-282-BEEP, or email works just spiffy too, idea@wretched.org. Might I share a bit from an email from Darlene? Wretched, it's been a while since I told you how much Wretched has meant to my spiritual growth. Oh, let me count the ways. And then she does. 1. Introduced her to Grace Gems. 2. Made sharing the gospel tangible. 3. The great resources. I give drive-by marriage, says Darlene, to anyone getting married. She uses the news for 8th grade current events class. And last but not least, Wretched challenges me to think how to respond in my world Christianly. Wowzers. Darlene, thank you very much for your kind words. And it's all made possible by our gospel partners. If you'd like to join us, go to wretched.org/donate for details. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Forget the power of cheese, the power of the ultrasound.
Darlene came to our clinic. She's accompanied by her boyfriend. She just came from Planned Parenthood, but they were unable to provide an ultrasound because they charge for them, and she probably didn't have the money. When she's in the counseling room, apart from her boyfriend, she says that the relationship with the baby's father was probably going to end anyway. So she wanted to abort, presented the gospel. She politely declined the gospel. We gave her an ultrasound, and she walked out the door, still abortion-minded, with the ultrasound picture in hand. We made another call for her a couple days later, and she said, you know, I can't come in, but do you know where I can get some prenatal vitamins? And she had chose life.
One ultrasound, $28. $28, one life. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Wretched's Millennial Initiative is on a roll. We want to reach this generation with a new TV show aimed directly at millennials, Road Trip to Truth. John Fabares will be hosting Wretched's next TV series, 26 episodes long, that goes right into the lion's den, secular university campuses. This program will reach millions of millennials with the gospel. Millions. Now, it's only because of your support of Wretched that allows us to do what we do every single day. So if you are already supporting Wretched, we are extremely grateful. Thank you very much. If you are not supporting Wretched, would you consider it? Think about giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on a monthly basis. Not only would you help us keep the lights on, but you'd help us reach this lost generation. Visit wretched.org/donate to become a Wretched monthly gospel partner. And join us on our road trip to truth. wretched.org/donate.
Books of the Bible. 1st and 2nd Chronicles traces God's unfolding plan from Adam through the Babylonian captivity. When you wonder what God is doing in the world, Chronicles shows us this pattern. He is calling a people to himself, placing them under the rule of his king, and preparing them for worship. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Oh, Trish, how many seconds ago did you tell me you're with a kung fu guy?
Just like 1 second ago, and I can't believe you found that music.
Mm. Okay, so what's the fellow's name, Mr. Kung Fu?
His name's Mick.
Mick.
Yeah, Mick? And I set up a meeting with him a couple days ago, found him. He was a martial artist, instructor, kung fu fighter from the 80s. And he's an actual carpenter, so I had met him at this house with a small team of people that I brought, and he's working on repairing a roof. Believe it or not, he had tried calling me to cancel our meeting today because one of his employees, his workers, fell off of the roof and broke his legs and was medevaced out of here just hours ago. Nice. And so he's like, today's not a good day, and I said, yes, it is. I said, there's a reason why your call did not get through to my cell phone because we're supposed to talk about these things today. And this guy, Mick, is on dialysis himself.
So the point being, you've got your segue because at any moment death might come knock, knock, knocking at your door. Now, is he a little bit frightening?
Is he frightening? And he goes, no, not really. Yeah.
Are his fists as fast as lightning?
I don't want to find out. Let's put it that way.
All right.
I know where you're coming from, Todd.
That's how pathetic
my life is. When I'm witnessing the Mick, I don't want to hear some whoo in the background, Todd. Okay, I'll lose it if you do that.
All right. You know what you just did?
What?
You just acted like the law. You see what the law does?
Let
the law
down.
You want to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And you just did that. Now, I would never have thought of the whoop while you're talking to Mr. Kung Fu.
But now?
But now that you bring it up, I have to do it.
I know, and I'm going to lose it.
All right, let's have a chat with Mick, the Kung Fu man. Trish, fire away if you'd be so kind.
Okay, I'm walking over to him. I'm still a few feet away, but I got to tell you, he's got some interesting beliefs about Buddhism and Christianity. Says he kind of believes in Jesus, but will not accept the Old Testament, doesn't believe in Noah, the whole accounts. Says he believes in the New Testament, but does not accept the Immaculate Conception. Really interesting things. Hang on, here we go. Okay, we go. Mick.
Hi, Michael Kelly here. How you doing?
Hey, you get called Mick? Mike?
Yeah, Mick. I go by Mick. It's my nickname, yeah.
Okay,
I get
called Ray. Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
And how long you been kung-fuing?
Well, I started back when I was a teenager, through my 20s to 30s, that I was more into it. Now, it's just a hobby that I still know.
Well, Mick, what does kung fu mean?
Kung fu, the words.
Yeah.
Broken down in Chinese. Okay. You kind of got me on that one.
Does it mean kick you? No.
No. Well, I knew what some of them were, but kung fu is basically like the hand and the foot.
Okay. So has it been beneficial to you?
Yeah, it has, as far as just giving me balance in life, not just with my natural balance, being able to stand on something and stay balanced, but a balance of in nature.
I learned that through surfing years ago, balancing. If you didn't have your balance, you're in the sea. I used to sit down on a surfboard. That gave me my balancing. But so
right.
Have you been able to defend yourself? I mean, has someone attacked you? Has all this work you've done been beneficial in that sense?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Someone came up to you and went to hit you?
Unfortunately, I'll say that I've had to use it quite often.
Really?
Not so much recently. Maybe the last time, I believe, was early 90s that I actually had to hurt somebody.
Really? What happened? Did they come up to you and offend you, attack you, or try and rob you?
Yeah. Pretty much came up to me, grabbed me by the throat, and then it was an indoor situation where it was called outside, and I told the guy I don't want to fight him, but he wouldn't quit coming at me, so I just had to tear him apart pretty much.
I got a scenario for you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
There's a guy standing 8 feet in front of you with a gun. What are you going to kung fu? He's going to kill you any second. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. I've never had the situation, but I'm telling myself, if I turn and run, that bullet can go a long distance that I can't go. I don't want to get shot in the back. So I'm either going to try to rationalize with the guy, inch forward as much as I can, and just try to get to him as quickly as I can.
You're dead,
it's only
Mick.
8 feet, and the gun can jam.
He says, you even inch forward, and I'm going to blow you away. So where are you going to spend eternity if that happens? Blam,
oh,
and
you mean
dead.
Like if the gun doesn't jam and I don't catch him and tear him apart?
Yeah.
Now I got to do. I'm not worried about dying.
You're not worried about where you're going to spend eternity?
Yeah, well, I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ.
Oh, you are?
Yes, sir.
Why is that?
Because he told me so.
I'm serious. Do you hear voices?
No, I had Jesus appeared to me when I was a teenager.
He did?
That's what changed my life.
What did he look like?
Actually, it was a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
That was pacing back and forth. And I felt ashamed and embarrassed, and he seemed disturbed and pretty much told me that I had some things that I needed to take care of before he was ready to see me again.
Well, I'd be
and
delighted.
That's been quite a few years now, so I apparently haven't taken care of everything I'm supposed to take care of.
Okay, well, let's see if we can take care of it today. I'd be delighted for you to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, and it's a way to make that sure. So let's just see if you're good enough to spend eternity with Jesus Christ in his presence. Are you ready? Do you think you're a good person?
Yeah.
Okay, here goes. Have you ever told a lie?
Well, I don't think you're good. You or anybody else is good enough to judge whether or not I'm going to spend time with Jesus, but you can go on.
Okay, well, we're not going to judge. We're going to let you judge, okay?
I'll judge.
Have you ever told a lie?
Sure, I have.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
Sure, I have.
Okay, what do you call someone who steals?
Thief.
Okay, have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yep.
Have you ever used the name of Jesus in vain?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, it's the same thing anyway. And finally,
yeah, but that's what you're going.
Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yep.
Okay, now, this is by your own admission. By your own admission, Mick, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. Here's a judgment you're to make. If God was to judge you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, we looked at four of them, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I'd be guilty.
And here's another judgment. Would you go to heaven or hell?
I'd go to heaven. Here's the guy that fell off the roof today. Hey, Wayne, I'm on the phone. I'll call you right back. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Why would you go to heaven when you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart who says he's a good person?
Because Jesus Christ told me so.
Yeah, but why would you go to heaven?
Because he's already died for all those sins that I committed.
Okay. He suffered and died on the cross. What
exactly
do you have to do to have your sins forgiven? There are two things the Bible says.
Savior. I accepted him as my Savior.
Yeah, but there are two things you've got to do before that can happen because, Mick, there's such a thing
I was dipped in the River Jordan. Does that help?
No. That's pretty good.
I've been to Israel.
Okay, Mick, there's two things that you have to do to be saved, and most people don't know it. Our country is filled with people who have given their heart to Jesus, and there's no fruit, there's no evidence that they've moved from death into life. They're not living in holiness. They don't have the things that accompany salvation. They don't have the fruit of the Spirit or fruit of repentance or fruit of righteousness. So what are the two things you have to do to make your calling and election sure? Do you know what they are?
Not your version of them, but go ahead.
Well, this is the Bible version of them, and it's God's Word. The Bible says...
The person that introduced you to me on this phone here didn't let you know that I'm not too into the Bible.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm concerned for your salvation, because the Bible gives us a revelation of who Jesus is. And the Bible speaks of another Jesus, and an angel of light can appear to you. The devil can transform himself into an angel of light. So I'm trying to tell you what God's Word says. It says you must repent of your sins. That is, you turn from
them. I was going to tell you that's the reason that I'm not worried about all the sins I've done, because I've been repenting. And to repent, I have to turn away from the sin and continue to not sin those sins again.
Okay, and the second thing...
Not just say I'm sorry every time I, step on my tongue and do say God's name in vain and say, oh, sorry, Lord, I didn't say that.
Yeah,
I have to honestly repent by turning away from all these sins and not committing them again.
Okay, and the second thing you must
do... That's what I try to do.
You've got to repent and trust Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation. You rest entirely on him. You don't say, I'm a good person. You say, I'm a wretched sinner, and my sins are forgiven because I trust in the shed blood of Jesus. When that happens, Mick, you will accept the New Testament as God's Word. You won't say, I don't believe it's God's Word. You'll accept it. It'll naturally come to you.
The New Testament, I don't have an argument. Well, I told your friends there, it's the Old Testament that I can't get past.
Well, don't worry about it just yet. Take it a day at a time. Read the Bible daily, and God will confirm to you that it's his Word. But don't let that stop you. Don't say, I can't handle the Jonah and the whale stuff and Noah and the
ark. Yeah, the way I look at it, the Old Testament's a bunch of stories, and the New Testament are events.
Well, the Jesus that you say you're trusting in, believe them as literally being true. So you've got a big problem there when you say they were just a bunch of stories. Jesus believed in a literal Adam and Eve, a literal Noah and the ark. So you've got a big problem there, because if you don't accept his Word, when he says that, then you've got problems, and he's not your Lord if you don't accept his Word. So, hey, Todd may like to speak to you. Todd's my buddy.
Mick, how do you do?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Mick, this might be interesting to you regarding the Old Testament. When you read it with the light, knowing that Jesus Christ is the substance of everything that the Old Testament is pointing to, you'll understand that the Old Testament is just as inspired, it's just as real as the New Testament, and it's as full of Jesus as the New Testament is, because it all points toward him. Let me give you one example. In the garden, you've got two naked vegetarians walking around. Remember Adam and Eve?
What?
Yeah. They sinned, and the first blood that was shed was God killing an animal to cover up their sin and their shame. And that was a little foreshadow of Jesus Christ, the one who is going to die to take away the sins of the world. And the Bible is loaded with things like that, all pointing toward Jesus. Jesus quoted it as it was literally true, because it was, and it's an amazing book, all pointing toward your Savior. So, Mick, we hope you'll think about this stuff today, about the laws of God, the Ten Commandments, repentance and faith, and Jesus Christ being revealed in the Bible. All right, dude?
I do.
Thanks for not chopping us.
All right, buddy.
All right, see ya.
This is Wretched Radio.
SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. A church in Phoenix is working with the police after an abortion doctor apparently pulled a gun on a pro-life protester. According to FaithWire, Apologia Church, who held a pro-life demonstration at the Acacia Women's Center on October 10th, alleged that Dr. Ronald Yunus, a physician at the facility, pulled a gun on protester Elvis Kesto. Kesto approached the physician's car to hand him a pamphlet. As he got nearer the car, the doctor pulled out a firearm and aimed it directly at him. A moment caught on camera by another protester and reported to the Phoenix Police Department. No immediate action was taken against the doctor until the next week, when the protesters returned, Kesto requesting police presence for fear Yunus might try to threaten him again. Police also interviewed the doctor and determined, since there was no independent witness to corroborate the story, an arrest would not be made at that time. The next day, the Arizona Daily Independent reported the doctor had been arrested and had been charged with aggravated assault. Guessing they got a gander at the video. Well, here's a study that looks completely different. The headlines have been saying Christianity is on the decline in the U.S., but there is new research showing it's growing faster than ever around the world. Atheism and agnosticism are on a gradual decline. The 2019 Status of Global Christianity Report shows there are 2.5 billion Christians in the world as of mid-2019, a major increase from the 1.98 billion Christians in 2000, and more than double the number of Christians from 1970. Christianity is growing worldwide at a rate of 1.27% each year, outpacing population growth, and is booming in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. By comparison, 138 million atheists around the world in the mid-2019, slightly more than the 137 million in 2000, but notably less than the 165 million in 1970. Atheism's annual growth rate would be 0.04%, that is less than the population growth as a whole, and the number of atheists worldwide is projected to decline to 132 million over the next 6 years. Agnosticism and those affiliated with the non-religionist, the nuns, are on the descent as well, according to the survey. The Status of Global Christianity Report was released by the Center for the Study of Global Christianity at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. So while the Pew study this month showed Christianity declining in the U.S., globally, the data would be just the opposite. Much of Christianity's growth is due to its surge in other continents, Africa, Asia, and Latin America, most notably. Evangelicalism and Pentecostalism growing the fastest, Protestantism and Roman Catholic not as much. The study also showed that globally, Christianity, its growth in cities, isn't near as dramatic. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Important dates in Christian history. 432 AD. After escaping years of slavery in Ireland as a young man, Patrick, a British Christian, returns to Ireland as a missionary. His work results in multitudes of Irish people coming to the Christian faith. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Trish.
Oh, Todd.
All right, can you share with everybody what you just shared with me, or is that kind of private stuff?
Yeah, no, no, I think I can. I'm with a gentleman named John. He's pretty open about what he believes. He went to a Christian school, kind of, in a sense, maybe raised Baptist, was Presbyterian, became a Baptist, but he had introduced me to his wife and their four kids. And the funny thing is, while I was inside their house, I didn't tell you, Todd, did I? From the last segment, I'm at a house. They're doing construction on this roof. We just talked to the kung fu guy. I'm at that same house, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, it's this guy's house, and his name's John. We were inside. He introduced me to his wife, and his wife goes, "I'm not his wife." She goes, "I'm his girlfriend. He won't marry me." She's like, and not only that, she's like, "He is not a Baptist. He doesn't go to church." And she goes, "And he drinks every single night. And he has strippers that come into his car shop." I go, "What?" So do not let John trick you by saying he's a Baptist.
Well,
okay?
Well, unfortunately, we've learned that long ago, that just because you call yourself a something doesn't mean you're a something.
John's up on the roof. I'm going to call him down here. John.
Right, I thought you were going to crawl up there yourself. Terrific.
No, I don't want to fall.
Had a funny
picture. You're on the phone with John. Here we go.
Hi, how are you?
John, how do you do?
I'm doing fine.
Do you ever get scared on that roof thinking you might take a header?
You know, we had that happen today.
I heard the guy broke his leg. Is that right?
Both of them.
Both? No kidding. Just from...
Yeah, we had to care flight him out, and that was all of it.
And this was from falling off of a house.
You know, he picked up a piece of decking because we're adding an extension and bringing it over the patio, and as he picked up the the wind picked it up and picked him up and threw him right on his legs, and that's it. They snapped. And some of the wood had some nails sticking out of it, too. He got his leg and his arm, too.
Yeah. Hey, John, can I tell you something that I hope you'll appreciate this? Maybe you won't, but I hope you will.
All right.
About 15 years ago, I would have thought you were a Neanderthal, and I would have never have wanted to talk to you or spend a second of time with you. Do you know why?
Well, okay, let's have it.
Yeah, because you're 15 years ago, you're just a guy who works on a house.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you're kind of dirty, and you work outside, and you do that stuff, and I would have had no time of day.
Well, that's if I worked on a home. I own a business. I own three businesses.
No, I wouldn't have been impressed. You're a construction guy. Do you know what changed it?
What's this?
Well, there's two things that changed it. I'll just tell you one thing. But we actually built a home.
Yeah.
People said, "Oh, you're going to go and visit the house every day to see how it gets built." And I said, "Oh, no, I'm not. I'm just not interested in that." And I did every single day. And I watched you guys work, and I was just shocked at how smart you guys are and what it takes to actually do what you do. I was so impressed that my attitude was radically changed.
Well, good.
Yeah, there was another reason for it. I'll share that with you later. Now, I understand you're a Baptist, or you grew up Baptist. Is that right?
I grew up Baptist.
Are you still a Baptist?
Well, I suppose, sir.
You suppose?
I don't attend church generally.
Okay.
In fact, let me quit lying. I haven't been to church probably since 9th or 10th grade. However.
That's a while. Okay.
Yeah, I grew up Presbyterian, changed Baptist with parents, and then I went to Christway Academy in Duncanville.
Well, you've been loaded up with religion, haven't you?
I'm very firm with my beliefs.
What do you believe?
I don't believe anyone's going to change any of my beliefs, and I believe in God, and I believe you get paid back for doing right, and like I was telling Ruben earlier, I'll take my shirt off my back if it helps somebody else out, typically.
Yeah.
However, sorry, I'm sitting here juggling a soccer ball. But anyway, you know, I began to think that church was more of a social gathering, and let's see.
All right, John, here's what I'd like you to explain to me, all right?
Yeah, let's have it.
What is the core, what is the central, what is the most important teaching of Christianity?
The most important teachings?
Yeah, what's the biggie?
Well, that's a big question with probably a million answers.
Nope. There's one.
I think the big one would be the one that I've learned the most recently, when it's one of my favorites, and I'll probably keep it forever. Experience is the world's best teacher.
So you think that's what Christianity is all about?
I do not. That's one belief that I do like.
Okay, but what is the biggie in Christianity?
What is my belief in Christianity?
No, what is the core, the central teaching, the big deal about Christianity that separates it from every other religious worldview?
Well... You know, you're going to have to spill it out. I don't know it.
All right. I think it's this, and it's the thing that changed my attitude about you, quite honestly.
Okay.
It's the core teaching of Christianity, the thing that distinguishes it from every other religious worldview is it is a religion based not on works, but based on grace.
Okay.
Every other religious worldview says in order to please God, you have to work to do good things.
Christianity, you have to do something.
You have to do something. Christianity says, nope, you can't do anything. You're a filthy, rotten, scumbag sinner. You can't earn God's favor at all. You must be saved by grace through faith alone, period, the end.
Okay.
And then once you receive that forgiveness of sins, everything changes. Your attitude toward God, your attitude toward construction workers, like my attitude changed. Toward,
so you're a half-full kind of guy, are you?
A half-full kind of guy?
Yes, sir.
Well, no, I maybe I am. I don't know about that, but more than...
Is the glass half empty or half full?
Well, it's half full.
You know,
it
took me years, but I focus and I struggle. And every time somebody says anything of that nature, I try to make sure it's a half full.
Okay, but here's the big deal, though, John.
What's happening?
If the religion that I'm talking about is correct, Christianity is right. In order for you to go to heaven, you have to have your sins forgiven.
Correct.
Right? Do you have your sins forgiven?
You know, I do ask for forgiveness time and again.
From whom?
And I figure, I pray. And I figure the best thing in my life is my girl and my kids, and I do right by everybody in my family, and that's it. Oh. And I figure if I continue the way I do it with my business in North Richland Hills, as well as taking care of my kids, my mom, and my girl, I figure I'm going to be doing just fine.
Yeah, well, see, that sounds like you're trying to please God that way. John, let me try to lay something on you. Now, I want you to answer these questions quickly, okay?
Okay.
Just be honest, and this might be very helpful for you, all right? Something that will help you understand and get your understanding of Christianity really cleared up. Now, what you do with that is up to you. That's your business, what you do with this information. But I think this might be helpful to you. The Bible says this, it is appointed unto man one time to die, and then judgment. You're going to die, fall off a roof when you're 85 years old of old age. You're going to die, and you're going to face God, and he's going to judge you. And he's going to judge you for every thought, every word, every deed. John, have you had any thoughts that God would find unacceptable?
Sure.
All right. So have you ever, for instance, have you ever lied? Uh-huh. So God's going to know that you're a liar, right?
Sure.
Okay. Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you?
Sure.
All right. So God knows that you're a thief at heart. Have you ever looked with lust?
Well, sure.
All right. Because Jesus said, if you do that, you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Have you ever had sex outside of marriage?
You sure.
Okay. That's fornication. Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain?
I have.
Yeah. All right. So, John, here it is. You die. You get judged by God. What is the God of the universe going to do with you, John? Is he going to take you to heaven or send you to hell?
Well, I'd imagine all the things that I've done negative, I've done enough good for people around me and myself and my family. I'd imagine I'd be accepted.
Okay. Let me tell you what that is. Okay, you're a big guy, right? So we're both men talking here. That's called self-righteousness.
Yes, sir.
You're going to make up for the bad that you've done. Because you're so good, God's just going to overlook the bad, and he's going to take John to heaven because he's done so many nice things.
That's John, assuming I do bad all the time now.
Doesn't matter, John. It's like a courtroom. If a criminal stood before a judge, and the judge knew that he was guilty, and the fellow said, hey, but I've done a lot of nice things, the judge would say, that's swell that you did those things, but you've broken the laws, and you must
Touché.
Be punished. Right?
Touché.
Okay, so yes, there sir? You stand. God knows you've broken all of his laws. Should he send you to heaven, or should he send you to hell?
Well, then I think that'd be a better question to ask him.
Well, but
I don't have the answer to that.
Well, we do have the answer. We don't know the mind of God completely, but it's pretty obvious if we've broken the laws, God should punish us. If he's a just judge, he should punish lawbreakers, right? The Bible says that all liars will have their part in a lake of fire. Because we maybe don't think that lying is such a big deal, but God thinks it's a huge deal. And when we tell a lie, it's not just a sin against the person that we fibbed with, it's a sin primarily against God. And God sees it as a huge deal. And when we look with lust, that kind of gives us a good example. If we look with lust, we look at pornography, we look at a stripper, we don't have to have sex outside of marriage. Just think about it. And God has you tagged, and he hates it because he is so holy. So the just judge has a very high standard. You've broken those standards, just like the rest of us, John. Should God send you to heaven or hell?
Well, of course I'm going to say heaven.
because you want, because you don't want to go to hell.
That's right.
But if this is reality and he judges you that way, the correct answer is hell.
Yeah, but I'd never say that about me.
Right, because you don't want to go, right?
Yeah, well, that's correct.
But John, neither does God. God doesn't want you to go to hell either. What did God do so you don't have to go to hell? What did God do to forgive your sins?
He died.
There you go. So you
and
go to heaven not by...
His only begotten son.
There you got it.
Yes, sir.
That's the good news of the gospel. Not helping your mother, not being nice to your girlfriend, not raising your kids. That doesn't earn God's favor. By grace, you can be saved through faith, a gift of God, not of works, so that John can't boast about being in heaven, but by grace alone.
We'll continue witnessing on Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes.
Yes.
We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International for decades, delivering Bibles to believers, believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible, for just $5 per Bible. You could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, 6 per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
What are some of the best partnerships you will have in your entire life? Marriage? Business? Wrong. The best partnership you will ever have is becoming a Wretched Monthly Gospel Partner. Because when you're a gospel partner, you help Wretched reach the lost with the gospel. Without your consistent financial support, Wretched couldn't do what we do. Things like distribute 1 million copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time Is Purple? Or say, film a new show, call it Road Trip to Truth, and get John Fabares to be the host. If you're already supporting Wretched, we are extremely grateful. Thank you very much. If you're not supporting Wretched, would you please consider giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on a monthly basis? Because the more our gospel partners give, the more we are able to give away. Visit wretched.org/donate to become a gospel partner and help us reach those in need of the gospel. Because we may not be the best partnership you'll ever have, but we come pretty close.
When you sponsor a Tomorrow Club for $30 per month in Eastern Europe, you are writing stories like this.
Vova and Maxim, one is 11, another 13, they're brothers. Both of them smoke like crazy, so when they joined Tomorrow Club, they would just make noise and kick other kids around. That winter, the father left the whole family without wood for the furnace, so they could freeze to death, and without food. So the leaders came and actually brought the wood to the family and fixed the things that they were broken in the home. So the boys saw what happened. They got saved, and the change in their attitude and behavior is just immense.
$30 per month, you'll be discipling 30 Eastern European kids in far-flung and very poor villages in Eastern Europe, and so much more. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Bread of Life. Just as God gave life to his people in the desert by providing manna, so Jesus gives life to his people through his body broken on the cross, which we remember in the breaking of the bread in communion.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Trish.
Hi.
Where are you?
Okay, well, I'm going to give you a couple scenarios again. You can choose. You can witness either to a guy or a girl. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm here at a promenade called the South Lake Promenade. It's beautiful. There's big, puffy, white clouds. I don't think I've seen puffy, white clouds in the past, like, 20 years in all of California, my existence and living in California. And it's beautiful today. I'm out at this promenade. There's a fountain behind us. And I found this young couple. They're not boyfriend and girlfriend, but friends. And I asked them, I said, well, why are you guys together? You know, she was, you were giving her a piggyback ride just a second ago. I saw them walking down this little promenade.
That's what pals do.
And I said, so, you know, what's the deal? And he said, well, she called me crying. He says, we've been good friends for many years. She called me crying, and I told her, let's go out for ice cream. So they came out here for ice cream, and I guess apparently this young girl broke up with her boyfriend of 2 years. She's only 17. And this guy that she's with now is 19, and his name's Will.
And she was
her
on
name's
his
Jessica.
Back? She was on his back?
Yeah, I guess it's a way to celebrate after you've broken up with someone, you know, after a two-year okay. relationship. I don't know.
All right, I've got to interject, too. See, this is the problem with a 15-year-old girl dating anybody. There's no reason for it unless you want your daughter to have heartbreak. Okay, I'm done.
Good work.
And Todd, I couldn't agree more. And here's the thing, too, is she, you know, says that she's a Baptist or whatnot. I don't know if she's going to church now. She didn't get into much with her. She was really emotional. It seems like her heart is very, very open. I don't know which one you guys would like to talk to. Her friend Will is kind of confused about religions, but it's open to all of them. He's looking to go to a community college to study religions, I guess.
I'd like to talk to Will.
You can choose.
So you want to talk to Will, Ray? Let's pass the phone and let's have a chit-chat with Will.
Okay, here we go.
Hello?
Hey, Will. Thanks for coming on the radio.
Anytime.
Hey, I got a question for you to see what you think about spiritual things. How many ways do you think there are to God?
Really don't know, honestly.
Do you think there's only one way, like the Christian faith says, that Jesus is the only way to God?
No, I really don't think that's... I think it's if you believe, pretty much.
So you think there are plenty of ways to God?
Yeah. Just your own way.
Just your own way. So it doesn't matter what way you come, as long as you come and you're sincere and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Another question for you, Will. Do you think there are moral absolutes?
Don't really know.
Well, do you know what I mean by moral absolutes?
No.
Do you think there's such a thing as absolute right and absolute wrong? Like, is it wrong to murder?
Yeah, I guess that is true.
Okay, is it wrong to commit adultery?
Yes.
Okay, is it wrong to lie?
Yes.
Is it wrong to steal?
Yes.
Okay, so you do believe in moral absolutes. So do you believe in the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
Do you live by them?
I try to the best I can.
Okay, do you think you've kept them all?
So far, I've done pretty good about it.
You've been pretty good?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Let's see how good you have been. I'll go through a few of them. And all I want from you is for you to be honest. Can you do that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Will, here goes. Have you ever lied?
Yes.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
No.
You never stolen a thing in your life? Music off the internet?
Nope. Oh, actually, great. I've been pretty good about that.
So you've never taken something that belongs to someone else. That's commendable. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes, sir.
Now, that's a bad one.
I know.
You know what it's called?
No, sir.
It's called blasphemy, where you take God's holy name and use it as a cuss word to express disgust. So it's real bad. And the Bible says the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. You know what the seventh commandment is?
No, sir.
You shall not commit adultery. Have you ever committed adultery?
No, sir.
Now listen to what Jesus said. He said, you've heard it said by them of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yep.
Okay, listen to this. By your own admission, you're a liar, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. And there's only four of the Ten Commandments. There's another six with their canons pointed at you. And here's the big question, Will. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Based on those, I'd probably be guilty.
Yeah, drop the word probably, you'd be guilty. Do you think you go to heaven or hell? If you're found guilty on the Day of Judgment?
I really don't know. Like, I've thought about that, and that's really not for me to decide, or...
I can help you think about it. I'll tell you what God's Word says. It says, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Did you know that?
Nope.
Yeah, the Bible makes it very clear. No liar will enter heaven. Neither will any blasphemer or an adulterer. So, you're in big trouble on Judgment Day. So what are you going to say to God? Say, God, I got a multitude of sins. I've lusted my heart out. I've lied. You gave me life, and I used your name as a cuss word in place of human excrement. So how are you going to justify yourself to God? What are you going to say to him?
Tell him I'm sorry.
That won't help you. That's like saying I'm sorry to a judge after you've raped and murdered a woman. Very serious crimes, and say, Judge, I'm really sorry. He's not going to let you go because he's bound, if he's good, by justice. He must do what's right.
true.
So what's going to happen to you on Judgment Day?
I'm going to go to hell.
Now, does that concern you?
No.
Come on, Will. You want to live?
Yeah.
Yeah, something in you that says, I don't want to die. Have you ever sat into a dentist and had him drill your teeth and felt that drill hit a raw nerve? Ever felt that feeling?
Yep.
You like it?
Nope.
It's not nice, is it? Well, the Bible says that God will give you tribulation and anguish if you continue in sin. Because God is holy, he's perfect, he's righteous. And he doesn't look lightly on sin, and he'll punish you. He will damn you for eternity. Eternity in the lake of fire. This is very serious. I wouldn't lie to you. And I don't like talking like this to people, but it's true. This is the gospel truth. If you die in your sins, God gives you justice after he reveals your secret sins. You know those sins nobody knows about? You know what you think about in the darkness? God sees that. The eye of the Lord is in every place, beholding the evil and the good, and he'll bring every work to judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or evil. So you don't want to die. It's got to concern you. Would you give up one of your eyes for $1 million?
No.
Of course you wouldn't, because your eye is precious to you. Would you sell them both for $100 million?
Nope.
Of course you wouldn't. So see how precious your eyes are to you. So think how much your life must be worth to you. If some guy stood in front of you with a gun and said, I'm going to blow you away in 10 seconds, you would burst into tears. You'd say, please don't kill me. You'd realize how much you value your life if someone tried to take it from you. And I don't want you to go to hell. Now, have you any idea what God did so you wouldn't have to go to hell, Will?
What?
Come on, you live in America. What do we celebrate at Christmas?
He died.
Yep. At Christmas, we say, unto us this day a Savior was born. At Easter, we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He suffered and died on the cross for your sins. He took your punishment upon himself. You broke God's law, the Ten Commandments, and he paid your fine in his life's blood so that God could dismiss your case, so you could leave the courtroom, so he could commute your death sentence. Do you realize that? Well, God can let you live because of what Jesus did on the cross. He doesn't have to give you justice. He defeated death through the resurrection, and what you must do in response to what he did for you is to repent and trust in him. Remember you said, plenty of ways to God? Do you realize that Islam cannot wash away your sins? Neither can Buddhism, neither can Hinduism. None of the isms, none of the man-made religions can wash away your sins. Only Jesus can, because he's the only one that suffered and died in your place. That's why there's no other way to God. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Do you have a Bible?
Yes, sir.
When did you last read it?
When my grandpa passed away about a year ago.
So when you stand at the grave of a loved one, it makes you think about eternity, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, God's heard that cry of your heart, and please listen today. I got a friend here who'd like to talk to you for a moment.
Will, how do you do, sir?
I'm doing pretty well.
Seems to me that fella's been preaching at you. What do you think?
I'm okay with it.
You all right with that? All right, so
here,
I'm going to give you a test, all right?
All right.
Tell me in a capsule, in a little nutshell, What did he just tell you?
That I've sinned, and if it wasn't for Jesus, I would go to hell.
There you go. That's pretty good. Now, in order to get forgiven by God, what do you need to do?
Repent.
Yeah, that's right. What does that mean?
To confess your sins.
Yeah.
And apologize for it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And turn and flee from your sins. Turn from your sins. That's right. And what else do you need to do? Repent and.
I don't know.
Put your trust in Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why he's the only way, because the other religions, if you put your trust in Allah or Vishnu, then you don't put your trust in Jesus, then you don't have your sins forgiven. So you need to apologize to God and put your trust in Jesus, and then God says he'll forgive you, he'll make you born again, and he'll grant you everlasting life. So I got a question for you, Will.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of all of that?
I think it sounds pretty good.
Yeah? Do you think it's true?
I really don't know.
Yeah. Do you think God exists?
I think there's a higher being, but I don't want to put a name on it like God.
Why not? Must
just be because
there's
been like a lot of problems in my life. Every day has pretty much been a struggle for me.
Yeah.
And I just kind of lost faith because I had faith and it just kept rolling downhill.
Well, that could be, but here, did you have faith in Jesus Christ and have you repented and put your faith in Jesus?
Not recently.
Yeah. Well, see, if you haven't done that, you've never entered into a relationship rightly. So, Will, all I can encourage you to do is look around you, see that there's a creation and know that there's a creator. Think about your sins and think about what the Savior did. And all I can encourage you to do is just ponder that and pick up your Bible and dust it off and read that thing, okay?
All right.
Hey, Will. You're a nice young man. Thanks for chatting with us. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
And you're praying for Will, right?
Until next time, go serve your King.